Great coffee.
Hey. Chad, who's that strange, somber man on the cover of that book you're reading?
Oh, that's H.P. Lovecraft.
Oh, I've heard of him, but I never really got into his stuff. It's kind of strange and hard to read.
No, I used to think that too, but that all changed when I started listening to the H.P. Lovecraft Literary Podcast.
What's that?
The H.P. Lovecraft Literary Podcast is a weekly podcast.
Tell me more.
Well, these two really smart and hilarious guys give a synopsis of the story, then they talk about its background, the critical views, and what it says about the author.
Well, where can I listen?
Let me tell you, Chris, you can go to hppodcraft.com or, heck, just subscribe through iTunes. It's that easy.
Oh, Chad, I'm so excited. Now I can listen to this podcast and pretend to all my snooty friends that I actually read and understand H.P. Lovecraft.
Hey, that's what I do. Oh, dear.
hppodcraft.com.
Water Hall continues as tonight I sit down with our brand new co-host, Edward Hale. We're going to be discussing everything from his career as an inker to a self-publisher, as well as discuss what's going on in the comic book world of past, present, and today. Per usual, detailed plot spoilers and salty language. Listener discretion is advised.
Pixels in the Animation is the Geekcast Radio Network's video game cartoon review show. We are covering every episode of 9 different video game cartoons. Join TV's Mr. Neil and myself, TFG and Mike, as we trek through multiple Mario tunes, Zelda, Captain N, Mega Man, Sonic, and we are also driving through Donkey Kong Country. Pixels in the Animation is 100 episodes of video game cartoon goodness, so tune in to help us find the Pixels in the Animation, which you can find every Wednesday on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com.
Alright, folks, welcome to another episode of Hunnic, What a Haul. And what a haul it's been. We have several interviews down, and of course, as you know, I've got Kendra on staff. And her husband, Edward, has been joining in. He's been on a couple of the episodes, and I've decided to make him like a co-host, which is great, because we're going to start to discuss... Well, we started to discuss Mortal Kombat, and we were talking about the movies and Conquest, and then we just decided, screw it, we're going to go right into Attack on Titan. Maybe we'll get back to Conquest someday.
There you go.
All right, let's try that again.
Okay. Take two. Anyway, we're going to get to Mortal Kombat Conquest one day, or one year, but it's not going to be this year, as we've just decided to go on to Attack on Titan instead. But, Edward, I figured we get to know a little bit more about you. So, you are a husband and wife team, and so Kendra tells me. But how long have you been inking?
I've been inking and drawing ever since I could pick up a pencil. I've always loved art ever since I was a little kid. I was pretty good at it, and my parents just kind of pushed me towards it, and I grabbed it and ran with it.
What was the first thing that you knew that you drew?
One of the earliest things I can remember was a picture that I actually painted for my grandmother in kindergarten. It was a tree and sunset. I did watercolor paint. I think she still has it framed in her house to this day.
Now, we of course are all comic book fans. What was the first comic book that got you into inking and illustrating?
Batman.
Yeah, definitely. Batman. Yeah, Batman.
Yeah. Batman. first three comic books I ever read, Batman, Thor, and I think it was a Justice League comic was the other one, and I knew the minute that I got done reading those that I had to do something like that.
Now, of course, I've always asked my artists this all the time, but do you have any favorite illustrators that are in the business, DC, Marvel, Image?
I could sit here for hours listing my faves. The guys that really got me, you know, picking up a pencil and defined the way I drew stuff, the biggest out of all of them I can say was a guy by the name of Norm Breyfogle. He used to draw Batman back in the day, and Detective Comics for a while, along with Alan Grant, I believe, was the writer. His style just grabbed me, and, you know, ever since I saw it, I was just like, oh my God, I want to emulate his style. I want to draw like this guy does, and so on and so forth. So, I mean, Jim Lee, Scott McDaniel, you know, Todd McFarlane, I could name names for hours of guys that I admire and want to be like.
Now, what was the first professional gig you ever had?
I inked a piece for Dark Elf Designs for a it was a charity book for the Boston Marathon bombing. Brian Germain hit me up and asked me to ink this piece, and I did it, and it was published in the charity book.
Now, of course, you and Kendra have All Hail Studios. So, of course, I've asked her how it all started, but what are your takes on it? Like, when did you first decide, okay, husband and wife team, let's put this all together?
It was a few years ago. It was basically like an in-house production company, for lack of a better term. I mean, kind of like Edmonds Studios or whatever. We wanted to just work on projects together, and I mean, I'll do pencils and she'll do inks or whatever have you. We both write, you know. One of the projects we're working on is my baby that I've been developing since I was a kid, called Phoenix Eye. I've got an 8-page story of that coming out through Comics United, and another one that I'm working on that her and I are going to self-publish in an All Hail Studios anthology book. Working on projects of hers, mine, you know, whole nine yards.
Now, of course, you've mentioned you've been working on other projects. Is there anything that you're allowed to discuss now in the interview that the public can know? Because I have seen Kendra's inking. She has posted some stuff on Instagram. I've seen some of your stuff. What could you tell us right now? Any personal stuff, professional stuff that we could look forward to?
I've just got done penciling a 4-page story that Kendra wrote for RIA Comics. The book's called If Powers. Kendra wrote the story. I penciled it in Woods, colored it. The Kickstarter just got done and was successful. It'll be coming out sometime this. I want to say this summer. No Gravity Studios, I penciled the entire first issue of Vapor for J.R. Blanton. Kendra inked that as well. That should be out by this summer again. I'm trying to think what else. I'm working on a couple projects for Exciting Comics, just doing the inks on a couple of their books at the moment. And then everything we've got coming out through All Hail Studios.
Now, what was the shortest project you ever worked on?
Shortest project? I don't know.
Put it in a better way, Jeremy. Put it for Edward, it has to be, see it from the inker's point of view. What is the shortest piece you've ever taken to ink? What was the easiest piece you've ever done?
Oh, the easiest piece I ever did was a pinup that I inked. It was just for fun. It wasn't professional. It was a picture of The Crow by David Finch, one of my all-time favorite artists. It literally took me 25 minutes to ink it from start to finish.
And what was, like, the longest or most challenging thing you ever had to ink? Like, pulling your hair out, like, exasperated?
Again, it wasn't a professional piece. It was just a, you know, a for-fun thing. It was a Daredevil and Elektra piece by Jimbo Salgado. And literally, it took me about a week to do it. And every time I sat down with it, just because of the fine details on it, I would get a migraine when I was inking it.
Now, this is something I asked Kendra about, and we brought this up because of, you know, Jay and Silent Bob with Chase and Amy, with, you know, inkers being accused of being tracers. But I've talked to a lot of inkers, and it's really, really not an easy job. You're not tracing, of course. You have to make sure that the ink is in the lines, because if it's not, then everything could look all fucked up. How much patience for anybody that's interested in the business? Like, what would you recommend to anybody who is interested in becoming an inker and trying to understand that it's not the easiest thing to, like, ink in the lines?
My advice for somebody like that is take your time. I mean, study comic books, download pieces off of the internet, and practice. Practice, practice, practice. I mean, I cannot stress practice enough. I mean, back in the day when I first started it, you know, I wasn't any good, you know, and I had to get better. I made myself get better, and the only way to get better and to, you know, move forward is to practice, look at other people's artwork, take advice from other artists, you know, take it with a grain of salt, because there's those artists out there that are just kind of there, but, oh no, your crap sucks. So, there's always naysayers.
Now, the other question, of course, I have, which I ask all my artists and writers, have you ever, like, wanted to walk off a job due to creative differences, or just had any creative arguments?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know an artist that hasn't, honestly, beyond Kendra. She gets along with everybody. But, yeah, I've had a couple of jobs where I got pissed off with management decisions, or they were screwing around with me and I just didn't like the way it was going and I just backed out of it. You know, I'm not going to name drop or whatever else like that, but it's just, you know, the way things were handled were unprofessional and it was screwed up.
Now, of course, you know, you and Kendra are a husband and wife team, and there have been a lot of husband and wife teams in the business. Do you know when you guys have to work together on a project, like, even though you're married, and this has come across with a lot of husband and wife teams, the difference at the times between being professional and personal at the same time? So do you ever, like, joke? Do you ever get along? Or do you ever have, like, an argument while trying to work on a session together?
No. We've never had, like, arguments or anything when we're talking about projects. I mean, literally, we'll sit down and we'll throw ideas at each other, and, I mean, like, if it's her project, she'll tell me what she wants, she'll give me the script, you know, and I'll sit down and work up some sketches or start working on panels, and, you know, I'll immediately show it to her with layouts. I'll be like, so what do you think of this? Is this what you had in your mind? Or something in that vein, or she'll, you know, generally with her scripts, I don't even have to do anything like that. I mean, she's just, the way her scripts are laid out, everything's there, and if I have a question, she's literally right next to me. So it's the ideal working relationship to me.
Well, of course, you answer my questions, which I love, like what advice you'd give and, you know, mentoring the generation of today. And your idols, I'm sure you have a ton of them before you want to meet. I could, of course, ask you if you ever had a chance to meet somebody like Jack Kirby, because everybody is always bringing up Kirby. But I do have to ask you, for Image Comics, of course, Robert Kirkman at all, or Todd McFarlane, like, have you ever had a chance to meet the greats, the indies?
No. Up until just a couple months ago, I had never been to a comic convention before. And Kendra and I, Kendra took me to my first con, and I was flabbergasted. I mean, I got the pleasure of meeting Mark Wade. Kingdom Come, I mean, come on. It's one of the greatest books of all times, and, the guy is so nice. So nice. I met Ethan Van Sciver, and I didn't even know what to say to him. I was just like, oh my god, could you sign these? I sounded like an idiot, honestly.
It was cute.
Yeah, Kendra says I was cute, but I still felt like an idiot.
Now, of course, we're both comic book fans, and I've got to ask you over the years, because 20th century, 21st century, we've been through two centuries right now, if you think about it, or, 20th to 21st. How do you feel, and I ask this because I occasionally guest on Geekcast Radio, The Pullback, where we talk about comics. I was not on the discussion on DC versus the New 52. Or Marvel versus Marvel Now. What are your thoughts on the New 52? Because for me, I do like the Harley Quinns, because, I can't shut up about that series. I do like Scott Snyder, in a way. I like a couple, I like Court of Owls. I did like Death of the Family. I have mixed feelings about Endgame. But then, of course, there's Detective Comics, and there's Batman, and there's Batman and Robin, and then what they did with Dick Grayson right now, and then there's Red Robin, and there's Damian Wayne, and there was a whole thing with Talia on how, Damian was conceived. And, of course, let's not forget with Death of the Family what happened with the whole Joker storyline. And, of course, with Endgame, if you haven't read it yet. Spoiler alert, yeah, the whole rejuvenation potion. But my question is, with DC Comics and Batman Comics, we do know that there was the Golden Age, Silver, Bronze, now New 52. What do you prefer with DC? For me, I have to go with Bronze Age. Silver Age is the second. The Golden Age is the third. Bottom right now would be New 52. It's not bad, but it's not there. But what would your thoughts be with DC right now?
I have to agree with you on what they're doing, like New 52 and everything else like that. Is like my be-all end-all favorite character out of DC Comics. So, I mean, I've been following this guy since I was 5 years old. And, I mean, I had an extensive run on the book as well. I mean, it ran from, issue 400 all the way to the last issue when they rebooted for everything for the New 52. I don't know. Like, everything else that's gone on, I'm kind of disappointed with. I mean, Green Lantern was another favorite of mine. I don't really feel like that they rebooted anything there. It just kind of was a continuation of what was going on already. But a lot of the other characters, I mean, Wonder Woman and Superman and all of them, they don't even feel the same anymore. And, it's kind of a smack in the face, honestly. Batman is the one example where it doesn't feel like it was rebooted. It just felt like it was all time compressed. Instead of it taking 20 years for, everything from Nightfall to, Hush to happen, that it all happened in like 5 years. And I love what Scott Snyder's done. I love the Court of Owls, Death of the Family. I haven't read Endgame yet, but, I've read reviews of it and everything else like that, and articles about it, and what they're doing with the Joker, and, I love some of the artists they got. Greg Capullo, for example. I mean, he's been one of my favorite artists ever since Spawn, and even before that. Him on Batman was a dream for me. I was like, oh my god, they gotta have Greg Capullo on Spawn. And then they paired him up with Scott Snyder, who was doing an amazing, amazing job with character. But it just seems like everybody else in the New 52 is just there to make a buck, honestly. And I'm kind of feeling the same way about Marvel at this point, too. I mean, every 5 minutes, they're rebooting something or, you know, killing off somebody or making somebody the new Thor or new Captain America or making Iron Man an asshole or, I don't know. It's kind of, I mean, I understand it from a writer's perspective that you got to keep it fresh and all that jazz, but when you've got 75 years of continuity or whatever have you, you just don't throw it out the window to, you know, have a new guy take on the costume. It just doesn't feel right to me.
I have so many problems. Both DC and Marvel are 75 years. Marvel, I understand with the Ultimate Universe, what they were trying to do and say was they were trying to get in touch with a newer, hipper crowd because they had all these different variant covers and it almost destroyed the comic book industry because they were all hoping that the way that they were collector's items in the 30s and 40s, in the 90s, they would be collector's items now, especially with all the stories. There were some great stories. I mean, there was Infinity Gauntlet, there were Secret Wars in the 80s, there was Infinity Gauntlet in the 90s,
I grew up on. You know, I liked when the Ultimates universe first started, specifically Spider-Man, Ultimate Spider-Man. That was amazing. I read the hell out of that book all the way up until, was it Ultimatum? And then they were like, oh, Ultimatum's here to, you know, help cut down on, you know, the books that are coming out from the Ultimate Universe. And then they ended up with like 15 more books after that. And I was just like, guys, what are you doing? I mean, I don't even get it anymore.
What are your thoughts, though, with something like with alternate universes of Marvel's, like Marvel Zombies or Marvel Primates? Do you think it helps or hurts the industry?
I think it helps, sort of. I'm not a fan of it myself. I mean, the Marvel Zombies thing, I've read pretty much all of those, I think. I understood what it was because it was, for lack of a better term, it was trying to cash in on the zombie craze. Some of it was good. Some of it was just complete crap. The Marvel Apes thing was just retarded. No offense to the writers and artists that worked on that, but no. I have standards.
Yeah. In Marvel, what do you think, at any point in time in the 75 years that we're familiar with, what do you think was the jump the shark moment? For me, I have to go now with Superior Iron Man, as much as I liked it, and I did review it over at Geekcast Pullback. After I did the segment with TFG1 Mike and JT from Saskatoon, I reread it, and Tony Stark, yeah, you're right, they did make him into an asshole, and I think that's what they kind of did with him for Age of Ultron, and I'm not too sure where they're trying to go with the character. I understand that the character was never likable, and then since, you know, Robert Downey Jr. plays the character in the movies, and they're trying to go with either what he was like in the comics and what they're trying to do with Superior Iron Man, I felt that the Superior Iron Man in Marvel kind of jumped the shark because he's taking an application from an iPhone and you have to pay $99 to make yourself beautiful for a few hours. And Tony Stark doesn't seem to care. He's using the, what is it, from Iron Man 3. I know it's the Extremis.
The Extremis.
Extremis, yeah. He's now taking it and he's using it to make it marketable. To, like I said, you purchase an app for $99, you press your finger on it, and you become beautiful, but then after an hour or two, you start to melt. And, yeah, Tony doesn't seem to care about this. I felt that was a jump the shark. For DC right now, I think the jump the shark moment, and it breaks my heart to say this, has to be Endgame because it's, again, trying to give an origin to Joker, and it's not. And, yeah. And not to mention the fact, also the DC villain month that happened a few years ago in 2011. But, all in all, do you feel that now that Marvel is trying to once again reboot with the new Secret Wars, with Secret Wars, I think it's supposed to be the Marvel Universe old school versus the Ultimate. We both read Secret Wars, and we will be discussing that this summer. What do you feel right now with the new Secret Wars?
Honestly, I'm disappointed in it. I mean, like, I'm waiting for more issues to hit before I sit down and actually read it. But the original Secret Wars was an amazing read. I mean, it was great. And it was a standalone miniseries. It wasn't, here, let's change the universe. It wasn't, you know, Crisis on Infinite Earths from DC Comics or something like that. It was a great read. It had all of your favorite heroes in it, all of your favorite villains, put on a world by the Beyonder, battle world, and they were sitting there to go at it. It gave us, you know, the black Spidey costume slash Venom, you know, and introduced us to all the symbiotes and everything else like that. But I'm not fond of what they're doing with the new thing. I mean, because it's Ultimates versus current, you know, universe, and there can be only one, so new Thor fights Ultimate Thor, and Ultimate Thor wins, so that's the Thor we're going to get from now on, or whatever have you. At least I'm assuming that's what the premise is, but I don't know, it irritates me. It's like I said, 75 years of continuity, and you're throwing it out the window to make a buck.
Do you think that that's Marvel's jump the shark right now?
Yeah. Actually, I think pretty much everything that they've done since the whole Marvel Now thing kicked on up until this point is pretty much everything, you know, smack in the face to everybody. I mean, instead of it being about the characters, being about the comic books, it's about the money, it's about the movies. I mean, like, they're canceling the Fantastic Four comic book because they don't have the rights to make the Fantastic Four movies. I'm waiting for the same thing to be said of X-Men, because back in the 90s, the X-Men were amazing. I mean, you couldn't talk to anybody that was a comic fan without bringing up, you know, X-Men or Uncanny X-Men or X-Force or X-Factor, you know, and I have a feeling that that's going to follow suit. You know, the X titles are going to go the way of Fantastic Four.
What are your thoughts on the Fantastic Four 2015 movie? Because I've seen the trailer.
I'm not a fan. I have no desire to see the movie. I'll probably watch it just so I can actually give an accurate opinion on it to whoever asks, or if we do a review of it or whatever have you like that. I'm offended by it, honestly. I mean, the girl they got to play Invisible Woman, okay? Invisible Woman is basically the mother of the Marvel U. And the girl they got to play her, in every other thing she's ever been in, she plays a bitch.
Yeah.
And from my understanding, she's a bitch in real life. I don't really know, but I'm just saying. Why are you going to get a bitch to play the mother of all Marvel U?
Yeah.
You need somebody, I mean, one, beautiful, two, amazing personality that can convey every aspect of the character.
They couldn't hire me.
I know they can't hire you. You know, I mean, the whole thing they're doing with, you know, her and Johnny Storm, I mean, yeah, I'm all about, you know, equal opportunity for everything, but the first family of the Marvel U, you don't fuck with it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Dr. Doom is a podcaster? Oh my Jesus Christ. Dr. Doom is the greatest villain that Marvel has going for them, and they turned him into a podcasting bitch.
I have no comment. You know what? I actually find, I don't know why, the original movie's guilty pleasures in a way, the Corman version for some reason, I have it. I have the 2005 and 2007. I like three of them, but as you said, Invisible Woman, no. Jessica Alba, you're right, they did make her into a bitch. I don't understand the purpose of why they put her in there and why all they could do is that when she turns invisible, she goes around naked. It's like nobody quite understood.
Not Jessica Alba, but the girl that's playing her in the new 2015 movie.
Yeah.
Jessica Alba, I was okay with her, but she felt really fake.
Yeah.
I mean, she felt like a bad box of hair dye, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. Since we do know that, you know, Disney has bought Marvel and they're trying to... Well, we pretty much know they bought Lucasfilm, they bought Marvel. What are your thoughts? You ever think like they're going to buy DC down the road, and if they do, because they know good versus evil, and
no, because freaking SEC's going to step in and shit. No, because I mean that's kind of like the Comcast Time Warner thing. That's like a monopoly going on, and the fact is I mean Disney is competing against Warner Brothers, and Warner Brothers is one of the biggest production companies in the world, and. You know, Warner Brothers is never going to let go of the rights of DC Comics.
Who do you think is winning right now in the movies, DC or Marvel?
Well, considering DC's only had the one movie at the moment, Marvel's winning because they're inundating the market with 56,000 movies a year, you know. I mean, in the next four. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. I watch all of them. They're decent films. They just need to slow their roll a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like Age of Ultron. I didn't like it.
Neither did I.
I mean, it was like, oh, yeah, this is going to be amazing. You got James Spader to play Ultron. And you didn't even play Ultron. You just played James Spader playing a robot.
Yeah, yeah. And not only, there's only like one good line read I felt that James Spader did. And that's when he cut off, you know, Gollum's arm. He says, oh, I'm sorry, that'll grow back. Because he couldn't quite understand, yeah. But yeah, because they're so busy building up the next movie. I mean, if I'm not too mistaken, Hank Pym is the one who created Ultron. And no, because now we have Ant-Man coming out next month. Here's the problem that I have with all of it. I feel that because Marvel and Disney are trying to work together now, that they're going to cram every Marvel character then get the hands on in every franchise and just milk it for all it's worth. But I feel it's quality over quantity. I know that Warner Bros. Is trying to do that now with the Justice League movie, but I don't think either get it. Because the problem is you're cramming too many characters into a movie and you're not giving anybody enough time to breathe. And if Robert Downey Jr.'s contract does expire, like, who's next? I mean, do you really want to see, Elizabeth Olsen as Count Chocula, I'm sorry, playing Scarlet Witch. I don't think, you know, I was almost ready for her to do, like, Kate Beckinsale from Van Helsing, saying, like, you're the first person who's killed a vampire in 200 years, I think he deserves a drink. The casting, to me, feels a little off. I think when you try to take a comic book and make it into a movie, I mean, there's some great stories I'd like to see into a movie. I would love to see Secret Wars. I would love to see Infinity Gauntlet. We're going to get Infinity Wars. But,
yeah, which is just a variation of Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, but mine, so. But the problem is that they're going to cram so much in that I don't really think Disney is understanding it other than it's a cash cow. And they're going to do the same thing with Star Wars now, where they're just going to, like, we're going to get episodes 7, 8, and 9, which is great because we kind of get the original cast. But then we're also getting individual movies, and I don't know what it's going to have to do with anything. Although it's probably better now that Lucas is no longer involved, so I'm kind of okay with it.
Yeah, I'm kind of okay with that too, and I'm actually really excited about the new Star Wars movies and everything like that. I call it my inner nerd, my inner child is, you know, grabbing his lightsaber and charging, you know, headlong into battle with the Jedi. You know, I don't want Disney to do what they're doing with the Marvel movies to Star Wars too. I mean that would kill it.
I feel like they're just gonna cram everything that they can in, and the other problem is too, Lucas is no longer involved, that's great, but it's just gonna be something that's, I mean, Marvel kind of has stepped in, they're doing the Star Wars comics, and I've read a few issues. I like the first two where we have Han and Leia and AT-AT Walker, and Vader is kind of using the Force to control the AT-AT Walker, and it's beautiful. It's visually done, which is great. I just don't know how much further they're going to go with this. My biggest problem I find is trying to take comics and making them to movies. You have all these characters, you have all these stories. I don't like the casting at times. I don't like when you're trying to add new characters that have nothing to do with the comics. And I don't like how you're trying to cram everything into a two-hour movie. And nowadays, they seem to be taking a two-hour movie, making a two-hour and 30-minute preview for the next movie. So it kind of insults the intelligence of the viewers, I feel. Especially for the old school. Like Amazing Spider-Man 2. it's like, yeah, it's like, okay, well, you know, Doc Ock will be in the next one. Oh, this one, you know, this character will be in the next one. Venom will be in the next one. And now they're rebooting it. So I guess, you know, our thoughts on reboots is that they're just becoming a waste of time. Like, nobody has the patience anymore.
Yeah, I'm agreeing. I mean, like, I had high hopes for the Amazing Spider-Man series when it first started. And then Kendra and I sat down and watched the first movie together and hated it. I mean, it was... I didn't like it at all.
I didn't watch it all.
The only thing that I liked about it was the girl that got to play Gwen Stacy. And, I mean, the fact that they were actually staying true to that aspect of it, I really enjoyed. Then in the second movie, you know, they had Electro, they had Harry Osborn, they had Rhino. I was just like, what the hell are you doing? Stop. You don't need 47 villains in one movie. Give me a villain. Give me a good story with that villain. I mean, you know, take a look at what happened in the past. Spider-Man 3. You had three villains in that movie. It was horrible. You know, you don't need that many villains. Just give me a good villain. Give me a good story. It's a simple recipe. So, I just...
Also, my other question is, what are your thoughts on crossovers and comic books nowadays? Do you think they help promote the product or not?
Yes and no. I mean, like, some of the books, like Batman or whatever have you, what they did with the Court of the Owls crossover, I enjoyed that. I didn't think it was completely necessary to cross it into every single one of their books, but they did it anyways, and I'm like, I'm all right with that, because it didn't last that long. You know, it was like an issue or two. But, you know, I don't want to go back to the 90s where there was a crossover every 10 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Because in the 90s, you had 47 crossovers every 2 months, and you had 64 books that you had to pick up in order to know what the hell was going on.
My other question, of course, is Robert Kirkman, Walking Dead, maybe working on a project for Transformers. What are your thoughts on that? Like, if he takes over either in the comics or in the movies?
This is actually the first I've heard of it, but I'd be interested to see what he could do, like, via comic books or whatever. Honestly, I think the Transformers films just need to, like, stop. No offense to the source material. I'm a Transformer fan from Generation 1. But, you know, Michael Bay is like, oh, look, who's the new supermodel we can put in the movie? What kind of shit can we blow up? Lens flare. You know, it's all about the money, you know. So, just... Transformers I'm done with. You know, I'm curious to see what he's doing with the Turtles. You know... The first one was good. I enjoyed it. You know, I did have problems with it, but, you know, second one, my boy Casey Jones is going to be in it. In fact, he's being played by Stephen Amell. I'm slightly excited about, because I enjoy watching Arrow. No, I'll geek out the moment they introduce Usagi Yojimbo up in that bitch.
And, of course, I was doing a review for Easter, Usagi Yojimbo, and I'm probably going to go back to that series.
Nice.
Yeah. My last question, of course, right now is that, as you know, we're going to be working on Attack on Titan. And, of course, have you read the Magna, as I have, and what do you think the difference between the Magna and, of course, the TV show?
I've read the first volume. I got them in volume, so it was 193 pages. From what I've seen so far, like, there is little to no difference between, you know, the anime and the manga. I mean, the manga is, it's literally frame for frame the anime, and I love that. I mean, I watched it on a whim. I'd seen it all over Facebook. Everybody was like, "Oh, Attack on Titan, Attack on Titan, Attack on Titan," and I'm like, Okay, great. And then we got the Funimation app for the PlayStation 3 and 4, and I sat down literally in like 2 days and crushed it, and I was just like, oh my god, that was amazing. took me back in the day to like Akira and, you know, all the old stuff that I used to watch, like Vampire Hunter D and Lensman and stuff like that. So I was stoked about it. So, and just the fact that we get to review it, I'm like even more excited about. So I'm actually working on an Attack on Titan piece right now. So,
oh, jealous. Well,
I found some that I had to ink. So.
So I guess right now, we all know our future plans, of course. But as usual, where can the good people find you on the interweb?
I'm on Facebook every day. I got my art page on Facebook. Art Hale. I'm on DeviantArt. Just look up Edward Hale on DeviantArt. I've got a fairly extensive gallery on there. I have a small little gallery on Pinterest. Yeah, I don't really get on it that much because it's Twitter.
Hmm.
So I'm like, okay. But, yeah, I mean, Facebook, that's the primary medium to get a hold of me. I mean, I'm on there every day. I don't bite. If you want to say hi, say hi. You know, you want to check out my artwork, there you go. It's all there for your viewing pleasure.
Well, Edward, again, thank you. And, of course, we'll be back on Thursday as we discuss the first two episodes of Attack on Titan. And these are probably the spiciest of meatballs. And I'm so glad we decided to replace that to schedule, you know, take out Conquest for a while and put in Attack on Titan. I found out about this through Facebook, and I can't believe I was the last person to find out about this show. It's going to be interesting, and of course, now that we have Funimation, hopefully we'll get to see the live-action movie, and I have seen footage from Universal Studios in Orlando, not Orlando, but in Japan. They may be bringing it to Orlando, the Attack on Titan, exhibit that they had, so that'll be interesting as well. You know where to find us, of course, Facebook at Hunnic Outcast, Twitter at Hunnic Outcast, Geekcast Radio, we're now on the Tangent Bound Network, we're on two networks now, and in a few days we're going to be on United We Geeks, so we're going to be on three networks. Three networks! Ha ha ha. We have a huge cult following, as I've told your wife. Thank you, listeners, we're now reaching our 3,300th play and our 2,000th download in a year. We're climbing. And I have Kendra to thank because she's been sharing some other listeners, and thanks to some interviewers, they've been sharing the show like gangbusters. So I want to thank each and every one of you. Lots to come, especially this summer. We have a huge thing. And of course, as you probably know, we won the vote, or at least, you know, you guys won the vote. I voted for Kill Tomatoes, but we will be discussing Donnie Darko. We are going to be discussing Killer Tomatoes sometime down the road for various reasons. But we're not going to be doing the sequels because I'm not paying $500 for, you know, Attack on Europe. I'm not doing that. Edward, thank you again. And for you, the listeners out there, make it great staying in the comics, and we will talk to you next time.
Say, Jarvis, is it that time?
The house party protocol, sir?
Correct.
The Pullbag is GCRN's comic book review and discussion-based podcast. Join me, your host, TFG and Mike, and the rest of the GCRN crew as we make our way through the comics we are reading. Inside the Pullbag, you'll also find back-issue classics and origins episodes of how we got into comic reading. You can find the Pullbag every Wednesday on iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com. Make your great escape into comics and jump into the Pullbag today.
Jarvis. Hey.
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?
Hi, Geeksters. I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And we're GeekWatch 1. Are you interested in TV,
movies,
comics,
games,
and conventions? Everything from Trek,
to Wars,
Marvel,
to DC,
D&D,
to WoW,
Whovians,
and the Hulksters?
Then your search is over.
We are the geeks you're looking for.
GeekWatch 1 is available at kalnaken.podbean.com.
You can also listen, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes and Stitcher. Just look for GeekWatch 1.
And you can interact with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Kylan and Ken.
And remember,
no matter where you go, there you are.